There was a big announcement from the Adelaide Football Club. We fear that this may be happening. Their quote is, the Crows are reviewing their entire football operations due to the reduction of the AFL soft cap, as well as a challenging season on field. Mm. They have announced that Ben Hart will no longer be there, along with Mick Godden and Brent Riley. Now, Mick Godden has been good enough to join us. Mickey, thank you so much for your time under rather trying circumstances.
No problems at all, Kimbo and Roach.
Hey, we really appreciate it. We spoke to you back when things were really tough. You managed to turn around a lot of things in the midfield. We'll get to that. But Mickey, they say life's all about timing. You probably couldn't have gone to the Adelaide Football Club, which is one of the power clubs of the competition in terms of resources, at a worse time in the history of the club. And you look like you've paid the price for that.
Yeah, it wasn't great timing for me. I'd sort of do my apprenticeship for well over a decade in the sample and get your crack, and unfortunately, it hasn't quite worked out. But I think that, like everything, you do the best you can, and I feel that I did the best I can. I'll always be proud of that, and unfortunately, it hasn't worked out. But that's just the way footy is sometimes.
And they're testing times, Mick, for the whole competition. There's going to be reductions everywhere, so. Your plan, like you say, an apprenticeship, you did a long one in the sample and then step into AFL. What's the next step? Have you been able to grasp what you want to do next?
Yeah, look, to be honest, Rich, I mean, I love footy. It's what I do and it's what I know, and I feel like I'm pretty good at it. So, I just want to stay in football. Now, I understand that won't be at AFL level. My roots are pretty embedded in SANFL, and I'm not sure if there's opportunities, but it has only happened this morning, which was a little bit of a shock. Not a shock. I mean, we're aware of the situation I was in, but I probably didn't, until the reality set in this morning. I didn't really think it was going to be true, but I want to stay in football. That's my passion. That's my love. I love teaching people how to play the game, and it may not happen immediately, but hopefully I can get back at some point.
So Mick, I just thought that maybe you may have been given a heads up. Maybe I was looking for too much. I watched the game after Richmond and I saw Brad Crouch and a few of the players getting around you. I know it was the last game of the year. So you genuinely only found out this morning your fate.
We were having a midfield review today, which sort of converted into obviously the meeting we had. So, you'd be silly to not, have the understanding that, there would have been some pressure. We understood that. We had a conversation with the club probably about a month ago to say that, no one was guaranteed a position. So, we were very aware of it. So it wasn't like they kept us in the dark. It was just probably the finality of it today just seemed to hit pretty quickly.
Yeah, look, we've all been on the receiving end of those situations throughout life. So how was it delivered then, Mickey? Was it up to Adam Kelly? Was it one-on-one?
No, I sat with Nixie and Adam, so we had a really good conversation around. I mean, there's not much you can say in those situations. I mean, this is the way it's going to be, we had a good conversation. Nixie's a great character. He's of great character, and I know that it hurt him as well. But he's got to do what he believes is right for the LA Footy Club, and they've made that call, and that's fine. You go into these jobs with your eyes wide open. It's not nice, but you understand the situation they're in. They're trying to make the LA Footy Club better, and if they feel someone else can do it, well, that's the case.
And I suppose the reality is, Mickey, as much as he may have loved you or whatever, most coaches employ their own people, don't they? So he inherited you and Ben and Brent.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. And he gave us a chance. He gave us, the year, which we were all so grateful for, because when the new coach came in, we didn't know. This time last year, we were doing exactly the same thing. We weren't too sure whether we were going to keep our job. And then obviously, the pre-season went well, and then COVID hit and things didn't quite go to plan after that. And then obviously we started to get a few things right towards the end of the year, but obviously it was too little too late.
Michael, you had a long tenure in the SANFL, and I'm not sure this question comes with an easy answer, in the sense that you go to the AFL, it has all sorts of perceptions, and I was going to ask you what is the reality, but this year and last year had so many strange things happen at Adelaide. So were you able to judge whether it is exactly what you wanted to do in the end?
Yeah, it's interesting because it is completely different from a club perspective, because, and this is nothing against Adelaide, this is just, it's a corporate, it's a business. Whereas, when you're at SANFL level, there's a lot of volunteers, there's a lot of people that do it purely for the love of the club, and that's the biggest difference going into the AFL system. And I do miss that. I miss the people that do it for no reason other than just the love of their club. So, yeah, I probably came in at the wrong time, though, when you think about, obviously, all the review and that happened last year, and then, you know, Nixie trying to get his feet under the desk this year. So as much as it, you know, it was a great environment this year, to be honest, it is different.
Yeah, oh, look, as I said, life's all about timing. And, Mickey, you couldn't have come to the Adelaide Footy Club at a worse time. The wheels were falling off for Don Pike. They were getting attacked externally as well. Can you look back now and I keep bringing this up. Like, I just thought Adelaide weren't in a great place at the start of the year. And, you know, I said that Adelaide wouldn't win a game in the first nine. It ended up being 13. Now, with the advantage of hindsight, can you pinpoint why Adelaide was so poor early? Because they really were. Did they get rid of too many players? Did they get rid of the wrong players? Or was it just a combination of absolutely everything? Everyone's had to deal with COVID. Can you sort of pinpoint why it went so bad so quickly?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of all. And I think that the list management that they did last year was what the club needed. I don't see any major issue with that. I think that there was going to be pain. There was no doubt there was going to be pain. And it's going to take a little time to get everyone up and going. We certainly didn't feel, when we started the season under normal circumstances, we certainly felt that we were in a reasonable position. I didn't think we were ever going to, you know, push for finals or anything, but we were certainly going to push in the right direction. And then, unfortunately, sort of COVID hit, and we just never really got going in that first sort of 6 to 8 weeks afterwards. But then put a lot of things in place, and the guys worked really hard, and the coaches worked hard, and it was nice to see the club get a bit of a reward towards the end.
Michael, let's talk about a legacy, the good stuff. You leave behind a ruckman, Riley O'Brien, who's really proven himself. You must be proud of that factor of your work.
Yeah, I'm wrapped with for Riley. He's come along beautifully after a lot of hard work, you know, playing in the SNFL and then working his way in after Source left. And you know, he had a tremendous year, and his game the other night was fantastic again. You know, there's no secret to the reason our midfield got better on the back of Riley. Mm. So, you know, we had some guys as well that needed to adapt to a new game plan. That, you know, the Crouch boys and Sloaney and those lads and those guys started to feel it as well. You could see that they were really getting it towards the end of the year as well. So that was exciting. So I think, you know, if they take off where they left it, you know, we add some more experience to the, some more kids to the group through the draft. And I think, yeah, there is definitely some exciting times ahead.
We saw Matty Crouch, who's an All-Australian and one of Adelaide's best players, getting dropped and coming back an even better player, I think, without a doubt. Harder, kicking with a bit more length and just playing with a lot more purpose. I can only presume that you had a bit to do with that. Can I also ask, we heard a lot about Nixie's messaging and that Rory Sloane had to sit down and have a chat to him about the messaging, like it wasn't connecting with the players. Can you explain that a little bit better?
Yeah, so first of all, Matty, it was a tough time the start of the year, and you know, you certainly feel responsible when a player of his calibre gets to the position where he gets dropped, and that hit us all pretty hard. Not only Matty, but he's worked extremely hard to recognise what he needed to do in terms of to fit into Nixie's game style. And as you said, I feel he's playing as good a footy as I've ever seen him in the last month in particular. Yeah, I'm really proud of Matt. It's a tremendous effort. And in terms of the messaging, I think that was a little overinflated. It was just, I think it was more around just simplifying. You know, there's 100 things you want to implement when you come into a footy club. And if you get 5 of them in 1 year, you've probably done pretty well. So we were probably trying to create, you know, fix the ball movement, fix the defensive action, the contest, all these things. So we just simplified it back to, you know, 2 or 3 major things that we felt that would get us competitive. And I think that helped the players. Once that simplicity and clarity came to the playing group, that helped them. But the work that we did prior to that needed to be done. There's no doubt that needed to be done. So I think there was a little bit of a, I think it was a little overinflated, the conversation that happened, but it was about clarity.
Michael, everyone's being asked, so why shouldn't we ask you? You've worked with him, Brad Crouch. What should happen there?
Yeah, Brad's, I mean, he's a tremendous ball winner. And, you know, once again, look, I hope he stays at Adelaide. I really do. I think he's great for our footy club. I can't say our footy club anymore. I think he's great for the Adelaide Football Club, and he loves South Australia. But this is an industry that just it's so ruthless. And The conversations I've had with him, I know that he's certainly keen to stay, but unfortunately, sometimes these things are, well, they're not taken out of your hands, but there's a lot of other influences.
You can still say Al, Mickey, till you go to another club. You can still say Al, yeah. Unless you're a Port man prior to all of this, were you or not? Who did you follow?
No, I didn't really follow anyone in the AFL, to be honest. I was so embedded in the sample. Mm. I was just a sample boy.
Well, you're a crazed man now.
Anyway. I'm a crazed man, yeah.
Would you change anything? Do you look back now and do you think there's anything more that you could have done? Or like I said, I just think it's timing, really.
Yeah, I think the only reflection I've had in the last few hours would probably be a bit more aggressive. I probably sat back and allowed, others to, I guess there are situations where I feel that my experience, I should have probably just stepped in and used my experience, but at times I probably sat back and just allowed others to do it. And yeah, on reflection, whether that would have made me a better coach, I don't know, or whether I would have been more helpful for the club, I'm not sure. But yeah, when I think about, the time, maybe that was something that I could have just been a bit more forthright and thought, well, I have been around the game for a while. I probably had a bit more to offer.
So an extension of that, because that was the knock from the outside at times, that you didn't have the AFL experience. Was that a confidence thing as well?
Yeah, I think last year, definitely. This year, not so much. I was very clear on what I needed to do this year. But yeah, last year, it was much more difficult. But obviously, there were other things happening last year that it was quite a difficult, place to be at times. Yeah, but That's. I mean, I've heard that knock as well, but there was enough support in there for Nixie. There's no doubt he's a very good coach, and Benny Hart, and even Radar. He's only young, but he's got a really good head on his shoulders. So I feel that we had enough. We just had a lot of forces pulling against us.
So you don't subscribe to the theory, and there are a number of articles written about it. And SEN's own Kane Corns was strong on the fact that Nixie didn't have enough support. He needed a senior assistant, a coach.
Yeah, I don't know what a senior assistant would have done. I think that there would have... When you're Nixie and you're trying to bring a game style in and that he's passionate about and it's 10 years in the making, I don't know if a senior assistant... Unless the senior assistant was very comfortable to just support and sit back, which most senior assistants wouldn't be because they're obviously pretty experienced people, I think that may have created more conflict than it was worth. Mm. So for me, I think he did it the right way.
Michael, now that you're beholden only to yourself... and you have experience on the inside, where is Adelaide and where are they going?
Yeah, well, as I said, I think that, we had to implement a lot of things this year to for the Schombergs and the Scholes and the likes, McPherson's, to get games into them. So it was a very challenging year from that point of view, but it was the right thing to do. And those guys have now got experience. We've exposed them at the level. The list managers now have a really clear plan on who he's going to be there and who's not. So, yeah, I can see really exciting times. This is why it hurts me a fair bit to not be there, because I think it can rebound pretty quickly. Wayne Miller will be back next year, Tommy Duday full time, and another pre-season under no COVID restrictions, hopefully, for them. Mm. I can see them rebounding. I'm not sure if it's finals next year, but I think within 2 years, absolutely.
And I don't think people truly realise the relationships you build with your players. You spend so much time together.
Yeah, they become family, and that's been a difficult thing today. A lot of messages from the boys and phone calls, and you sort of feel like you're stepping away from your own children sometimes. But they'll be right. They'll battle on. It's the industry. We get up and we dust ourselves off and go again.
Michael, is there a silver lining in this COVID pandemic and what it's made football have to look at itself again?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a number of things around. Around the perfection that I think AFL were looking for, and sometimes the perfection overcomplicated the game. So I think that the ability to step back and say, hey, we can actually do things not at the level, same intensity, but not at the same detail level, and still get a pretty good product. So, I think there's a bit of that. Plus also the fact that we're in our groups of nine most of the time. Now, sometimes that was frustrating because we weren't able to cross over, but it did actually create a really good environment for us to be together more often as coach and players, because the players do get separated a lot from the coaches. There's definitely some silver lining.
Why does the modern coach concentrate so much on limiting the amount of scoring opportunities the opposition has, opposed to concentrating more on kicking a high score themselves? Like it used to be, Mickey.
I know, and I did the same with the Eagles. I don't know why we do. It's just I think we feel that defending a score is easier than scoring. So you set that precedent first. You set that as your baseline, and then you try to teach offense off the back of defense. So I can't answer that question, but we all do it.
But is it because you first work on not losing the game rather than first work to win it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I think. What the biggest thing that players, when they come through from underage, don't understand is what to do when you don't have the ball. Mm. And obviously, most of the time, you're creating some options for your teammate or you're defending. So, and when you're defending, a lot of these guys come through the under-18s. They haven't done a lot of defending in their time. So you get up against some good AFL teams and they just zip through you. So they need to be taught those patterns.
Hey, just last one, Mickey. We really appreciate your time. I called both the community games earlier in the year, the Melbourne game and then the Gold Coast game down at Noarlunga. How much did the game style change or what Nixie was trying to do at the start of the year till about round 12?
Yeah, I would say the early days, I know in the mids, we were trying to get more speed in there. So we rotated obviously heavily in the early days and that clearly didn't work for us, so we simplified and slowed down those rotations and players played their position a bit more. But I think the game, like the duration of the game, was something we adapted to as well. Because if you're a couple of goals down, the quarters go pretty quickly, so you wanted to get some really early, some good starts. And there was a few things that we adapted to. The rotations, you weren't rotating anywhere near as much as you could have because the time just got away from you, but. Yeah, in terms of the way the game looked, I don't think it changed a whole lot other than the duration of the game just felt a lot shorter.
See, on the outside, well, that's probably my hobby horse. I thought the early style of game you were playing was more a possession game and it was a more cautious game. When the caution was thrown to the wind, I thought, and it was more run and gun, certainly over the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think what you'll find in those early games, especially those Master Series, we weren't getting out of the games what we were trying to coach. So the players were actually, we were over-possessing the ball in those games.
Boring.
No doubt. So, yeah. And we agreed with you because we sat there and said, this is not the way we want to look. But that was just part of the education. We put together, players are very literal. So you put together something that you want them to do, they'll go out and do it perfectly. But sometimes you need them to think for themselves as well. So we just needed to pull them back a little bit and say, hey, you are allowed to play the game.
Mickey, we really appreciate your time. There's not a person in the industry that has ever said a bad word about you. We wish you all the best for the future, whatever that may be. You've been good to us. You've answered the questions in good times and in bad, and we really appreciate and saddened by the news today.
No, that's not a problem. And thanks for your support, guys.